T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us on this Thursday. We're just sitting in the break here, continuing to ponder the ramifications of gambling in sports widely, college sports, but then also just continuing to look at this particular story that's happened with the feds. And
some details that are head spinning.
Wild details that are happening there. But the details that we're most interested right now in this moment about are what's happening with the San Francisco 49ers, who'll be coming into town on Sunday at noon to face off against these Texans. And to get more information on that, we turn to the phone line and go behind enemy lines with a she works for Fangirl Sports covering the Niners, also does a little pre and post work as well. Her name is Tracy Sandler. She joins us now. Tracy, what's happening?
Hi, how you guys doing?
We are doing, I was about to say well, but I'd be lying. We're doing okay. We're trying to make our way through it. This Texans team is very frustrating at the moment. And then in order to try and hopefully see if they can get back on track, the San Francisco 49ers that you cover are coming into town and are in the way. I'd like to start with the quarterback situation. I think that's a fair place to start. It feels like this is going to be another one where Brock Purdy doesn't go. Is that correct? And if so, what has made Mac Jones so good in this circumstance when he stepped in for Brock Purdy?
It looks like it will be Mac Jones. Kyle Shanahan had said earlier in the week that it would be a reach to think that Brock would be available on Sunday. And Brock was limited in practice yesterday. So we shall see. But I think, you know, Mac Jones, he's a good quarterback. I think he was put into a couple of not great situations, which is a general statement on young quarterbacks coming into the league and what's expected of them. But he's able to run this offense. He's got a good arm. The players trust him. He trusts them. And it's worked really well for San Francisco. It was a really good pickup for them because, in my opinion, they really have a starting quarterback as their backup. And it's been really good for them.
Well, and he has Christian McCaffrey.
And he has Christian McCaffrey.
And that definitely, I mean, talk about, it's kind of weird saying a breakout game when you're talking about Christian McCaffrey. But that's kind of what it was this past week. What are you seeing from him, and especially after seeing the Seahawks, you know, kind of run against the Texans?
I mean, Christian McCaffrey, you're right, did have a breakout game. It's funny to say, but it does make sense with this season. But the offensive line played really well. George Kittle being back was huge for the run game. And Christian had said week after week, we're so close. I feel like we're getting there. We're about to break out. And they finally had their opportunity to break out. And you know, Christian's obviously incredible. There had been talk, has he lost a step, et cetera. He has not. I think they really needed to use him as a pass catcher in the previous games because of all the wide receiver issues they've had. But Sunday, he looked great. He looked like the Christian McCaffrey of old, which also feels odd to say because he's been that for so long. But yeah, he had a great game. And like I said, the O-line played well. And George Kittle being back, I don't think people necessarily realize what a difference that makes for the run game because he's a tremendous run blocker. He loves doing it. And then it's someone else on the field that a defense has to worry about, and it just opens things up for Christian.
Yeah, George Kittle had literally no passes, no targets, no catches, nothing.
He did have two targets.
Okay, apologies. Yeah, he did have two targets, but he didn't reel anything in this game, and that felt so odd. How was that taken there in San Francisco?
Oh, that was fine. I mean, that's something that over the years with Kittle, 49er fans are very used to. Sometimes he is hugely targeted in the passing game, and sometimes he's not, and he's a huge part of the run game. He was just coming back off a hamstring injury. He and Mac Jones, that was the first game, really, that they have had together. Last week's practice was the first time that they had reps together for the most part. There was a little bit in training camp, but, you know, Mac Jones was not getting first-team reps as much in training camp. So I don't think that was much of a surprise to people, and San Francisco is very used to him being such a huge part of the run game that there are some games where he's just not a huge part of the passing game, and it's always worked for them.
Now, let's go to the other side of the ball, because this Texans team, if as we've been talking about ad nauseum for the last few weeks, offensively has just been up and down, but mostly down and a mess on the offensive line. What is Robert Saleh? We were talking about this, and you would know. I'm wondering if there's going to be more pressure, more blitzing, which is not necessarily his calling card, simply because they had success in Seattle again, and they don't blitz a lot. And C.J. Mm-hmm. Stroud gets the happy feet.
Yeah, I mean, the pressure is going to be huge because C.J. Stroud does have that issue. He obviously had a really not good game on Monday night. He was pressured a ton, but either way, it was a bad game. So I expect him to bring a lot more pressure. Now, the 49ers will be without Bryce Huff, and the defensive line has gotten very thin. Obviously lost Nick Bosa earlier in the season. Bryce Huff coming off his best game as a 49er and then hurts his hamstring. So it's going to be interesting to see how they maneuver that. The pressure to C.J. Stroud is going to be the key. And this is a 49ers team that is going, I believe, on its, I think this will be its 14th game, but it's gone 13 games without an interception. And I know that's something they would really like to, to get. So this might be their time, but I think you will see a lot of pressure, some blitzing, but you're right. Seattle did not do a lot of it. And unfortunately, the Texans offense, it has just been an absolute mess. And I believe the 49ers will do their best to capitalize on that.
To that point, they did a great job capitalizing defensively last week, in a week that I think everybody looked at them as severely vulnerable after losing Fred Warner. Mm-hmm. What was it about that game? What were they able to do to get, I mean, a pretty injured and a very young defense to play in the way that they did to get a victory?
Well, George Kittle has said many times that Robert Saleh is their best offseason signing, and I would have to agree with that. He just has an ability to get this team ready. And the young guys, the rookies, have really been coming along. They've improved pretty dramatically from the time of OTAs to now. And then you had Tatum Bethune come in his second year, but essentially was like a rookie because he got pretty much no defensive snaps last season, coming in for Fred Warner, and he performed well. And Tatum has had the benefit of not only being coached by Robert Saleh, but of learning from Fred Warner in the last year plus, and he's a good player. And so Robert Saleh was able to take these young players and take their strengths and figure out a way to make it work. But it's interesting, this young defense that going into the season, I think many of us, me included, felt was going to be not an Achilles heel, but going to be something that was going to be a work in progress and there would be ups and downs. And Robert Saleh has gotten into a place where the defense has been winning games for the 49ers, and the ups and downs have not been on defense. They've more been on offense.
Has he changed at all defensively in terms of his approach and mindset, Robert Saleh?
I think he's learned a lot from being a head coach. His players were described him as very patient. And they said part of what makes him as such a good coach is that he is patient. And I asked him about him once, and he said, I realize that we're dealing with kids here, and in a lot of ways. He said, I mean, they're young men, but they're, you know, right out of college. And he has learned to be patient with them. I think being a head coach perhaps taught him some of the things that a head coach goes through and has helped him as a coordinator. But he's always been a tremendously talented coordinator. And, you know, even in fairness to him as a head coach, that Jets defense was fantastic. It's not his fault that all the quarterback stuff was a disaster.
We're talking to Tracy Sandler right here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610 as we go behind enemy lines. And Kyle Shanahan, not unfamiliar by any means with the Texans and with D'Amico Ryans. What has Kyle been kind of talking about? I know that he's not going to give his game plan away, but what have you kind of surmised that he's looking at early on in this week headed into Sunday?
Well, he obviously has tremendous respect for D'Amico Ryans, and D'Amico Ryans was tremendous in San Francisco. So it's someone that he's familiar with. So I think he will do everything in his power to capitalize on that. But I think the really important thing is this Texans team, as you guys, I know, have been talking about for a while, and we've talked about a little bit, is really struggling. But the 49ers are not taking them lightly because there's still a lot of talent on the team. Their defense is still very, very good. And so I think he's looking at this as a game that could be a very tough game and a game that the 49ers really need to win. And his respect for D'Amico Ryans obviously is so prevalent that, not that they don't take every week seriously, but I think when you have that kind of familiarity, you kind of know the ups and the downs, the ins and the outs, and places where you could be vulnerable, places where they could be vulnerable. And I think that will serve them well.
I do want to go back to Mac Jones a little bit because obviously Brock Purdy, we mentioned, you know, probably not going to play. But what has Mac Jones brought? Because he's had his moments as well.
Mac Jones is really funny, which is not everything to do with him on the field, but I think it's kind of a sneaky thing that nobody really knew. I don't know if you're allowed to be funny in New England, but he's really funny. He's very confident, and he's come in and done his job. He's earned the trust of his teammates, and he's just brought kind of an energy to this offense where there hasn't been a huge drop-off. I mean, he's not Brock Purdy, and then so I'm taking nothing away from Brock Purdy, but Mac Jones has been really good, and he came to San Francisco. I'm starting to think Kyle Shanahan's the quarterback whisperer. When you saw what he did with Sam Darnold when he went to Minnesota, and I think Brock Purdy's tremendously talented, but maybe not everybody would have gotten that out of Brock Purdy. Jimmy Garoppolo had his best years in San Francisco. So he came in and he knew he was the backup. He's very open about that this is Brock's team. I am the backup here, but I'm going to do everything I can in the interim. And so I just think he's brought a sense of calm, of confidence and talent and ability to run that offense. He's a very smart quarterback, and I think we're seeing what he really can do and probably would have done earlier if put into a different situation.
Tracy, before we let you go, I'm very interested in like the local perspective and things that, you know, because we know this, we see the way the national kind of talks about the Texans, and there's times we're like, oh, they're not getting this thing. What is it about the Niners that on the outside people seem to just get wrong?
That people seem to what? I'm sorry, you broke
up. Just get wrong or not necessarily understand or know about this team right now.
You know, I think over the years, there's been criticism of Kyle Shanahan. I think that's kind of the biggest thing. Over the years, there's been a lot of, it's enough, you should be fired, which is so insane to me because who are you getting that's better than Kyle Shanahan? And what you want is the guy that gets you there. And once you get there, once you get to the Super, once you get to the NFC Championship game, only one team can win. But if you're in the mix, you've got a pretty good coach, especially when you're in the mix year after year. And I think this season, people are really seeing just how well coached they are and how good he is. Because with all of these injuries and all of their ups and downs, this team is 5-2 atop the NFC. And that's a huge deal. So I think Kyle Shanahan is something that locally fans have gotten wrong for a long time, have been super critical of, but I do think this season is showing them like, yo, this is one of the best coaches in the NFL. You're not going to get somebody better than him. Eventually he will win a Super Bowl, but it's really hard to win a Super Bowl. It's pretty amazing to get there and get to the NFC Championship as much as he has.
Tracy, we appreciate you giving us a little bit of your time. Looking forward to this game. Are you traveling?
I am. I will be there.
All right. We'll see you in the press box.
Fantastic. Thank you, guys. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you so much. Right. That's Tracy Sandler, Fangirl Sports. Also does a little pre and post work for KMBR up there in San Francisco. This game is going to be such an interesting juxtaposition of, like, you know, obviously coaches in a similar vein, but how they're able to navigate adversity in some ways, because it feels like the Niners have done a really good job of doing that. Although it is worth noting, they have two head coaches, in a way, right?
Yeah.
When you look at the Kyle Shanahan on one side and then Robert Saleh on the other.
Yeah, and just sort of a little bit of more news here as we get it. Nico Collins not seen at Texans practice today. So they're taking the field. So that's 2 days in a row, two biggest days, Wednesday, Thursday, on a given week. So Nico Collins didn't practice yesterday and today, so it gets a little hairy.
Now is this something we got to wait on the NFL to clear protocol type deal?
That Ostensibly, yes. That's what they have to do. You know, independent, I guess, doctors or staff.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if this was a Texans thing where...
But he didn't practice, period. So we'll see.
Yeah, okay. And I mean, I don't anticipate him doing that. Yeah. In fact, we had someone text earlier, and you're not wrong, that if you're having to sit around and hope that somebody with a concussion is coming back, that you're down bad. Well, let me tell you outright, the Texas team is down bad right now. Like, this is such a hugely needed victory. If you want to just the math of it, right? Two and five is just downright improbable to come back from.
Especially when the Colts are facing the Titans. So the Colts go to 7-1. You go to 2-5. The division's off the table pretty much at that point. And you're really just crossing your fingers for any kind of sign at a wild card. But you still have, you know, if you lose this game, and I was talking about last week's Seahawks game was sort of a pivot point for the season. Sean Pendergast thinks this week is. I think you could argue both. And if they lose this week, obviously without Nico Collins, then, you know, you're talking, you got five losses. You still have the Chiefs. You know, you have, you know, the Colts twice. So just doing the math, it doesn't quite add up for you.
No, it doesn't. So, this is going to be a tough one. This is a team that is coming off of a very exciting win the Niners did. Like, a win that, again, I did not anticipate that they were going in this weekend or this past weekend, because, again, it feels earlier in the week than it actually is. But this past weekend to go and win after losing a not just a totem, but probably one of their best players, if not their best player, in Fred Warner, and they went and got a victory. Like, they're riding high. But then also you're not going to sneak up on them by any means, as Tracy was talking about. Right. They understand the way that you go about this. They probably have one of the best opportunities to scout what you're looking at defensively. This is going to be a really, really difficult game.
It is a difficult one, and then you got the Broncos coming in. So stacking up against you if you don't get it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. We'll talk more about this game. Of course, we're only a few days away from it. Again, feels like a threat every time I say it. Coming up next, let's do our lunchtime confession.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Taking care of your eyes shouldn't be a hassle. That's why Warby Parker is a one-stop shop for all your vision needs. Our prescription glasses and sunglasses are expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Stop by a nearby store or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. Did we mention we offer eye exams and take vision insurance too? For everything you need to see, head to your nearest Warby Parker store or visit warbyparker.com today. That's warbyparker.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I mentioned this Tuesday and I forgot. Wasn't here Wednesday yesterday because I was getting a stupid root canal. So I got to mention it here because it's an absolute confession. I got to see that fake punt formation again that Seattle did. That was gorgeous. The one where they split those guys
yeah.
wide.
Yeah.
And the and the guy was at an angle. I don't even know who it was.
Who would have, I guess, been the personal protector if they were actually.
Yeah. But he was at that. And I was like, I've never seen this before in my life. And there were big gaps right in front of him. One to the left, one to the right.
They had numbers. If that yeah. if that snap would have gone directly to him and he would have just tried to take, you know, that direct line to the first down marker. They had the numbers there.
Every high school and college coach in America had pressed pause and said, what are they doing here?
If they didn't already have it. I feel like that's the type of stuff.
No, I've never seen that before in my life.
That's the type of stuff that I feel like filters up, right? Like there's mm-hmm. some things in sports that absolutely filter down.
Oh, I see. Like they got that from some high school team.
Yeah, that's the type of stuff that absolutely some high school in Iowa has done a number of times over the last few years. And it just filtered up through the coaching ranks of somebody whispering, like, did you see this? Did you see this? And all of a sudden an NFL team was like, bleep it, let's do it.
It was awesome.
So, hey, salute to D'Amico Ryans, because I would have been like, hold on, time out.
Yeah, wait, no.
Hold
no.
on.
Nope.
What in the hell was that?
What
the, he was down
I said,
for
it. I said, what in the hell is this? Yeah, I've never seen
he
it
he was down for it.
I think he knew that they were just trying to, you know.
Man. Yeah. I mean, it would be one thing if we see the same old formation when people try to do the little trickery stuff.
Yeah.
But that one, I was like, hold on. Is this something I'm not?
I got to see it in. I got to see it in use.
Hey, Frank, have you seen this before?
Yeah, that's right.
Frank probably, I've never seen this before. Hold on.
Yeah.
Let's walk this back.
It was gorgeous. I got to see it again.
Yeah, it was wild. I don't know if I got to that place where I was like, oh, man, that's incredible. I need to see it again.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you want to see it in action.
You want to see someone action.
Yeah, I want to see it happen.
Yeah.
How they was going to do this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm always here for the trick play, because if the trick play works or it doesn't work, it's entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's one of the play. That's why the trick play is fun. Just like for me, I always enjoy, and I guess I played wide receiver in high school, so mm-hmm. there's an additional level. The fact that as soon as you see that wide receiver get the football and they start looking like it's a pass play, I love the knowledge that he's throwing that.
No matter what.
With
Cooper Kupp did it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Because how many chances do I get to do this?
Yes.
I'm throwing it up there.
Nah,
everything beyond that, it's your fault for calling it. Sorry.
It did look cool, though. I agree. It looked cool. It didn't look, even with the Colts, remember back in the day, the Colts did that weird one?
Yeah.
Where they actually snapped the ball. And I think they was playing the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots just boom rushed the center and tackled. It wasn't even like, that one was kind of like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
This one was like, ooh.
Yeah, okay. It was intriguing.
Yeah.
I wish I had a more fun confession, but honestly, I just sometimes admitting you don't know is a confession in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't wrap my head around how a head coach like D'Amico Ryans, who is clearly so personable with his players, right, has a standard form, but also like time and time again, we see the link between what is clearly the talking point that coaches handed down and then what the players say and repeat in various different times, how that link can exist there, and yet we can have a number of games, including this one, where the refrain afterwards is, they're just not doing what we told them.
I hate that.
It doesn't make sense to me. And I don't, like, he might be telling the truth, because you can go through and you can see, like, when he was talking about the short yardage plays, I went and watched back all the short yardage plays, and you can see the places where you're like, oh yeah, no, that doesn't make sense. That clearly not what the idea was. Over here, yeah, that's clearly not what the idea was. So, yeah, there's some of it clearly happening. And yet, and still, I don't understand how it happens that a guy that clearly has that connection with his players in multiple different facets has this as a reason as to why things are going wrong to some degree. In week 7 of an NFL season, it just doesn't make sense.
And that's something you hear from a head coach that lost the locker room.
Right.
That's something I expect Mike McDaniel to say.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's over and he lost the locker room, probably going to get fired. That's something I expect to hear from somebody like that.
Yes.
Right. Brian Callahan getting out here like, we telling them stuff, they not listening. I'm like, yeah, I wonder why.
Yeah, right? They're checked out.
D'Amico Ryans, it doesn't feel like
they checked out either.
No. No, and you make a really good point. You
know. Especially because we're talking about the defense now. Like, the offense, you can still sell me on.
Like, get your hands on, you know, the best receiver in the game right now. Nah, I think I got it this way. Oh, wow, that's tough.
Like how
that is tough.
I don't understand it at all. Mm-hmm. And so if you got any level of understanding, I'm looking for it. 713-572-4610 that, like, guys are just kind of going into business for themselves. On D'Amico Ryans, a dude that seems like he has a deep connection at the very, very least, even if you want to be as cynical as possible to his defense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If your eyes are the windows to your soul, and your glasses are the windows to your eyes, then it's pretty important to find your perfect frames. That's why at Warby Parker, we've made shopping for eyewear as easy and fun as can be. Peruse endless styles in our stores or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. To find your next favorite pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to locate your nearest Warby Parker store, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So last night was the first night of the new era of Inside the NBA on ESPN.
That's
this
right.
Time. And going into this, I was kind of like, I mean, I don't know if everybody else felt like this, where, oh, they're going to ESPN, they're going to mess everything up, it ain't going to be the same. I got to confess, I was one of those, and I feel like I was totally wrong on this. I watched it from beginning to end, and it felt just like they were on TNT, man. The only difference was the ESPN logo.
Yeah.
I feel like they did a really good job.
And a thinner Charles Barkley.
Yeah, super thin. Shout out to that, whatever shot he was on.
Hey, now he was, see, and now you're assuming.
No, he had a commercial for it.
I know.
I'm about to say he had a commercial for it, and they brought it up. But and he did make it clear that he had to exercise too.
Yeah.
So
All right, dog.
I thought they did a good job.
Hey,
man.
However you get there. They did.
I thought it was good. They were leaning into the whole ESPN thing. Mm-hmm. I thought that was great. And I don't think anybody was happier than ESPN because they was tweeting out every single clip from that show, man. And I think they're getting their money's worth.
Barkley got dang near, you know, flat out emotional about being on ESPN. You know, it was pretty cool.
And then they called him a little trout sniffing.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, they did.
And then
they
gave him a hard time about that.
I mean, like, kudos to ESPN. Even though they had said it, like, I think a lot of people were skeptical. They were like, ESPN was like, why would we pay all this money for this thing and then neuter it? And I'm like, I've seen you do it before.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It makes sense. And I'm glad that they didn't do that. I mean, hell, them boys was on there talking about they free George Santos, so free CJ McCollum. And I was like, I just know. Those ESPN executives are like, we're going to have to get used to this. This is uncomfortable.
Yeah,
just be put up with it.
I love that they're in the same studio, too. They still in Atlanta. That's I think they used to call it Studio J. Yeah.
Studio J in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Because it's still a TNT Sports property that they're like lending out or leasing out of.
Yeah, they just
to ESPN.
Broadcasting on ESPN.
Subcontracting.
Yeah, I guess. The thing that I enjoyed the most out of it is just everything, like the graphics are all the same as well. Like
the music.
I liked that. Like that feel remains. And so, yeah, I appreciate that those dudes were out there having fun. It was nice. And,
yeah, I thought they was going to have some Kendrick Perkins on there.
Oh, God. Well, not yet. Ain't over yet.
Not yet.
All right, now joining us now is Malika Andrews. I thought it was going to be a bunch of that. So I feel better that it's still the same.
No, it was great.
Yeah.
Copyright infringement.
I saw this, man.
Copyright infringement.
Show me the paperwork. Show me the copyright paperwork.
Where was the first place you heard about the Skyline lineup or the Sky lineup?
You said it on this.
Oh, that's right. It was me. That's right. It was me. Rockets are tweeting it out now.
Yeah.
Themselves. What's that attorney's name? I need another attorney.
Tony Busby.
Well, Busby, I'll take him. Willie Wins. Where's Willie?
Pushing Wins.
Pushing Wins.
Pushing Wins. I did see one of those billboards, by the way, the new one. I was like, that just doesn't feel right. Dude, Sky lineup is my thing.
Now, what'd you do? did you go and put this in the court of law anywhere or on the paper?
Now, if I wanted to push back, I will say you are pretty close with the Tillmans, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they listen a lot,
they listen
right?
all the time.
I'm thinking either A, they probably heard it on the station, and they said, you know what, let's roll with this.
Yeah.
Or either B, you kind of talk to them off the record, and they say, hey, we're going to go with this thing called Scott. Was it Skyline?
No, I did not. It was my idea. It was my idea.
Prove it.
Tillman, Patrick, I know you listen all the time. Just a little, you know, a little something for the effort. A little something for the effort.
I like that there's no, literally zero consideration that maybe the Rockets already had this in the tuck and had come up with
Where'd you hear
idea.
It first?
I mean, they might have already had it in the tub.
Why didn't they use it earlier?
Why would they have to?
Hey, they was rolling.
Connect the dots, people.
See, Lopez got an unnamed source that he got this from, and he just went out there real quick. Hey, I got an idea, guys.
That happens sometimes, but not in this case.
Whoa! That's wild. Somebody said, don't get pushed and win. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Don't be a hater. Yeah. Apparently,
we push, you win.
T. Mill said that Shaq wandered onto the NHL set because you know NHL TNT still has they NHL.
Yeah,
that's wild. That is hilarious. Nah, that's...
Jackie Child. Somebody said from
Seinfeld reference is always going to do numbers over here. All right, those are your lunchtime confessions here in the loop
that's
on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us. Actually, you know what? I would like to mix it up. Who want to go see the Houston Cougars? Who want to see the Houston Cougars play? Because caller number 6 right now, 713-572-4610, will win a 4-pack of tickets, mind you, to go see the University of Houston Cougars at TDECU Stadium. Welcome in the West Virginia Mountaineers. Now, that's not this weekend, the weekend after, but you will have your 4 tickets
next week
to be able to see that if you're caller number 6 right now. 713-572-4610. Obviously, tickets provided by the University of Houston. Go out and support this team, 6-1, and looking to really contend in the Big 12 in just year number 2 of Willie Fritz at the helm. So, again, call number 6 right now. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's that time on a Thursday where we do a little buy or sell. Are you buying what these folks in sports are trying to sell you? 713-572-4610. Play along, and we'll do it next. All right. Time for a little buy or sell, ladies and gentlemen. It's a Thursday in the loop. Excited for Thursday when the fellas of the drive are out today at Buffalo Wild Wings in Katy. Of course, as soon as I get to that, I forget to give you the address. I'll get you that address. Still not the address.
Still makes me laugh every time.
I know it does. I know it does. Are you buying with these various folks in sports are trying to sell you? John Lopez, what you got?
All right, let's start. Well, we got to start with the fellas here locally. C.J. Stroud, boy, a lot of his press conference yesterday, and we haven't really discussed it a lot yet today, but there was some interesting comments. But one of them, he was asked about the offense, and he said, quote, my confidence is as high as ever.
Well, I think that was about his play more than anything, and even then.
So you buying that then, huh?
I am going to sell it. Mm-hmm. I feel like a confident player doesn't look the way that he looked. Even though I understand, like, there's some tough sledding, right? And I don't think that this offense is as incompetent as it got last year, or the offensive line, rather, is as incompetent as it got last year. But still, he's early happy feet. And it's not even just, like, how afraid he is of being tackled. It feels like there's a lot going through his brain. It's almost like you could see those gears turning. On the let me get through these progressions and let me check for this and let me check for that. And maybe I'm just kind of describing it incorrectly, but it just feels like that's not the MO of a uber confident quarterback in that time period. I mean, hell, there's even instances where it feels like he should pull it down as he's stepping forward. I think actually Dan Orlovsky made that comment in the, you know, on the broadcast that, hey man, instead of trying to make that throw, just go ahead and pull it down. Mm-hmm. And like, it feels like those decisions that those split second decisions that he needs to make in those instances, he wasn't making enough of those in the right way, which I would probably lean towards a most confident guy being. So no, I don't think he's the most confident that he's ever
been. I'm selling it. I just don't understand how you could be that confident or pretty much confident
as ever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And your team is on, or at least on offense, is looking this bad, man. This ain't rookie CJ Stroud where you got some young talent around you. You're just trying to build something. Nah, y'all are supposed to be good this year.
And when you're confident, you look.
How can you be confident?
When you're confident, you look confident. You have a certain, you know, the way, demeanor, the things you're saying. Like, he's going through just talking points. You know, like, he even said swarm yesterday. You know, like,
well, I mean,
on the offense, we want to swarm. I mean, yeah, maybe they do, but I'm saying that it's like,
no, you're right.
All the little talking points.
100%. Yeah. You know, CJ Stroud wants to be the guy that gives the right answer, right? That's mm-hmm. part of being a quarterback and, you know, going through the big school and all that. He wants to give the right answer. But when it comes down to the actual, I mean, you can hear in the underlying of a number of his answers, and this ain't just this week. It's been a lot of times this year where I don't think he's fully like doing the pushback of the entirety of everything that's happening, but there's little pushbacks that happen in what he's doing from what the the team has, right? What the coaches have. And not to say that they're entirely on a different page, but that doesn't evoke confidence to me necessarily.
All right, you buying or selling this from D'Amico Ryans? He said he's not looking at the 3-game homestand. He was asked about that. Quote, it's all about the Niners. I really don't care about the home stretch.
I buy it. It's you are in playoff mode every single time, every single game right now, because every game will sink you.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone will, right? Like, you need to, and at least even if it maybe is not technically true and some things can happen, right, you need to treat it as such because you are way far beyond the pale, on top of the fact that you're not playing the type of football that would help you mm-hmm. or that would portend that you are going to win games. So you need to fix things. And it's a short week, baby. On top of it actually being a short week, not having as many days as other teams, generally, an NFL football week is pretty damn short if you're not playing good football in the moment.
Yeah, I'm buying that too. I just think they're in a place where they just can't look ahead anymore, man.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, you could probably look around and say, oh, the Colts are, you know, 6-1 and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, you can't look around anymore. You got to focus on the team that's ahead of you.
I'm buying it too. At first, I was thinking, you know, just human nature. You know, you want to say, well, maybe we'll get right. And maybe at some level he's done that. But you're right, Reggie. It's got to be like, man, if we don't win this one, you know, it's got to be about the Niners.
I mean, in 15 days of a bye week.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were looking ahead or not, but they couldn't put together a full game plan.
Yeah.
Where, or at least the game plan was not taken to the field. And even then, that's a whole different issue that's big enough on its own
mm-hmm.
that it merits your kind of attention. So you can't afford, if you got time to look forward, I don't know how you're sleeping, eating, drinking, doing, because it would take literally all of the hours that are allotted to you between game time.
All right, one more from the Texans. Kymie Fairbairn on that, I almost said fateful, but I don't think it would have been that fateful. But the kick, you know, that should have gone out of bounds. I mishit the football. You buying that?
I mean, he probably did mishit the football, but I feel like you probably the orders, it seemed like, was kick it out of the back, kick it out of bounds, just make sure that they cannot return and have the opportunity to waste this 2-minute warning. And out of bounds was an option.
It's a lot easier even if you mishit it.
He made the decision, and I get it. He's probably trying to save 5 yards. If you kick it out of bounds in the end zone, it'd go to the 35, as opposed to if you kick it straight out of bounds where it goes to the 40. Those 5 yards were not of real consequence. The big consequence was keeping that 2-minute warning, and you didn't do that. So yeah, you might have mishit it, but that's beyond the point. Like, this is problematic. The problem is that you were probably trying to get a little greedy there, and you just need to make sure the job gets done.
Yeah, I'm kind of rolling with that too. I think that's the one thing I was wondering all week. Was it made clear that kick it out the back of the end zone, or just kick it to the side?
Well, D'Amico said out of bounds, didn't he? I believe
because it seemed like because I mean I know Kaimi got a leg, but it seemed like it would have been just easier just kicking it off to the side out of bounds.
It would have been even if you mishit it. That's why I do buy that he mishit it, but that doesn't mean you didn't do the wrong thing.
And it sucks though because we do this with kickers all the time, and kickers know it, right? They have so little relatively to the larger other football players on the team that when there are small mistakes, they're giant.
Yeah.
Because you just have so little to do. This is not the reason that they lost this football game.
Sure. That's
this isn't even the big issue when it comes to like players not doing what coaches said or whatever game plan. Yeah. However, it hurts because as a kicker, that's how it works. You know that the standard is, you know, no mistakes.
Yeah.
No mistakes are allowed.
It's kind of communication too. Because if D'Amico said wanted this, and everybody in the country that was watching this game said, hey, they should do this, and you didn't do it.
Yeah,
that kind of speak to the communication too, even outside
it. Kind of ties in with the whole DB thing. Get your hands on the Andreas.
Not kinda. It 100% does. Yeah. It's honestly the third side of the football where you have people not executing supposedly the game plan, which that is such an indictment that I still can't get away from.
Are you buying this? Sean Payton. Now, earlier he had talked about he was hoping that they wouldn't put Dart in until after they played him. He addressed that because Russell Wilson, what did he call him? I forget exactly what
he tweeted. He just said
very unlike Russell.
Yeah, no, yeah. He went pretty direct in a way that Russ hardly ever does. He said that Sean Payton was still was like something bounty related. Obviously, it was a bounty gate kind of pun. But yeah, it was direct at Sean Payton.
Well, Sean Payton responded to that, quote, that was strictly about Dart. That in no way, shape, or form had anything to do directed at Russ.
Sell. Bleep out of here, man. Because I know that Jackson Dart was really appreciated by a lot of people, and you included, coming out of college. You not telling me that Sean Payton that's been in this league for so long was like, man, we were just really hoping that we didn't see that guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, in fact, head coaches of his caliber end up being kind of boisterous, right? Kind of like they have a real high opinion of themselves. And I could tell you,
especially
back channels, that dude has a high opinion of himself. Yeah. Not judging him for it, but understanding who he is.
Yeah.
You not telling me that he was scared of the big bag Jackson Dart. No, that was about we wanted to see that other cat because we think he stinks.
That's right.
I'm selling this, man. Yes. Yeah, let's be real. He don't like Russell Wilson.
He does not like
probably
Russell Wilson.
Probably never did. Yeah. I think he had him there for 1 year. Mm-hmm. Was it that one season?
Mm-hmm.
And nah, he don't like him.
I am selling it. That's one of the easier sells that we've had. Are you buying or selling this? We referenced it earlier. Tua Tagovailoa said he did not target Jaylen Waddle very much because, quote, some of it has to do with being able to see guys, and I'm not the tallest guy. You don't want to just throw it blindly.
I buy it. And I think that he's not wrong in that regard. The problem is, hey, man, you've been doing a lot of talking, brother. And I feel weird about this because I do want a level of honesty. However, I think you have to understand the concept of ain't nobody trying to hear that.
Yeah.
And Tua has been really bad about that particular concept of late. And you just got to control this a little bit better, but big dog. Like, but I think he's right, right? This is something that we don't often talk enough about or give enough credit for when it comes to quarterbacks. We do talk about, oh, he's a short quarterback. You won't see over the line. There are ways to manage it, and clearly Tua's not doing those. But that is going to be a factor as to why, you know, it's going to be harder to get the ball, particularly over the middle field for a quarterback. Just that you got to understand. With your current track record, with the way things are, that's not helping, big dog.
Yeah, I'm buying it too. I think, honestly, I'm not really mad at the comment. I feel like that's very honest, and we kind of want quarterbacks and players to be a little more honest. So I'm kind of buying that, man. I think he probably did have trouble seeing them, or at least in that game.
I am selling the hell out of this.
Okay.
I am selling the hell out of this. They played together at Alabama.
Sure.
Jaylen Waddle and Tua Tagovailoa have played together. They have been game planning ways for them to. There's big dudes at Alabama. There's big dudes in the SEC. They know exactly, and he knows exactly what he is and how they, you know, manipulate plays and roll out of the pocket and step up in the pocket and find your guy. I'm selling it. I think this was part of the reason I said he's starting to sound more and more like Russell Wilson. This is just an excuse. That's all it is.
Was Russ an excuse maker? I don't think I ever really viewed Russ's excuse. Well, he's corny. Yeah, he's political.
Yeah, he, He just sort of like insincere, maybe, is the better way
that,
to put it.
Fair enough. Yeah. But yeah, that part of it, I will agree with, on the Tua side, is he's making excuses.
Yeah.
Your man, Mike McDonald, does not have the demeanor that engenders confidence, even though that's just kind of the way that he is. You got to, all of this, you put it together with a team that's not good, and everybody's upset about
that.
I'm
selling that. I got one more for you guys. Aaron Rodgers, who do the Steelers play this week?
Who do the Steelers play? Oh, they play the Green Bay Packers.
They play the Green Bay Packers. Quote, "This is not a revenge game for me." Mm. There's more, though. Maybe this will help. "I'm just excited to see some of those guys and be on Sunday Night Football."
I'm actually buying this.
Really?
Call me a sucker. I feel like he would. Well, I was about to say, he didn't really get the.
I got the Astrodome you could buy.
You know, I feel like he didn't really get a good shot of, with the Jets. Like, he was mad at the Packers, right? Yeah. Like, he had the FU MVPs, which very much was directed, in my opinion, at general manager Brian Gutekunst, who is, you know, basically drafted Jordan Love and did not draft wide receivers that felt like he was not being supported. I think at this point, he done moved on to the Jets, and I imagine if he was still in New York and they matched up with the Green Bay Packers, that's revenge. I think at this point, he might be far enough removed, and he's just like, I just still want to play football, and so it's more about that. So I probably lean away from it being a revenge game.
I'm selling it. Okay. I think, yeah, I mean, you can say all that stuff, but nah, he still got something. It might not be bad. It might not be bad blood or anything, but he definitely wanted to stick it to Green Bay at some point. Just have a great game to show, hey, look, this y'all could have had this.
Aaron Rodgers, I'm selling it. He likes being bitter. He likes being, you know, he would find a way for a game against the Carolina Panthers to be a revenge game. I mean, maybe the ball boy, you know, didn't toss him the ball the right way the last time they were there. He loves it. He feeds off of it. And it's really not a criticism. That's how he's wired. This is a revenge game, one way or another, for Aaron Rodgers, in my view.
For some reason, I have convinced myself that there's been a level of growth from Aaron Rodgers. Also, like, in part because you come back from an injury that gruesome at that age. Like, it's because he talked about a level of gratitude on the backside of it. And I'm like, okay, 1 + 1 can reasonably equal 2 in this circumstance, where he goes, now I'm just happy to be out here. And maybe. I can see that, especially after it took him a long time to sign with the Steelers. And supposedly that was about like dealing with somebody who had some stuff going on in their life.
Yeah.
Right. I could see where he might be a little bit more reflective, but also I might be giving Aaron Rodgers a lot of ground.
But
here.
See, that could be true too. Mm-hmm. But he still want to let me. I want to throw 400 yards on them.
He's got to be vengeful. He's got to be vengeful at some level.
he historically has had the revenge kind of kink in a way with this particular team. So it would be there. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. Which, you know what? I probably shouldn't. That's a little buy or sell here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, this defense still managed to do some fantastic things, even though they lost in Seattle. But is there something in this defense that we should be worried about? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.